I'm John Moe. This week on Wits, we're joined by comedian Paul F. Tompkins to learn about the political turmoil that happened after the Wicked Witch of the West melted.
Sorry if I wasn't strunk and whiting it to your personal satisfaction there, William Sapphire.
Plus, dramatic readings of negative reviews of classics found on Amazon.com.
I stopped reading it for a while. Just to get a refreshed feeling.
And singer Rhett Miller bares his soul.
So I really have always loved dancing. God, I can't believe I'm saying this on the radio.
It's okay, it's public radio. I'm supposed to draw this out.
Yes.
I can't believe that I've known you since the 90s, and this is the first I'm hearing of this ballroom dancing class.
It's all on Wits, and it's coming right up.
Oh, yeah, talking to you, girl, is like long division. Yeah, I've been trying to find you. May I remind you, I'm under oath.
From APM, American Public Media, and Minnesota Public Radio, this is Wits. I'm John Moe. I need to issue an apology. I'm the one who broke Facebook. It started over the summer. I was pretty much home all summer long. We have three kids, and it's expensive to fly somewhere, and, you know, it's expensive to take a vacation once you get there with three kids. And even if you want to put forward that kind of scratch, you're still traveling somewhere with three kids, and you're always feeling like you're being ripped off by life itself. And apparently, my family was the only one, according to Facebook, who did this over the summer. Everyone else I knew through Facebook, or actually didn't really know, but once maybe knew sort of, they all went places, all of them, Hawaii, France. They ran marathons with their kids like some kind of monsters. And they put up all these pictures. So I was sitting around one day and posted a picture of my kids sitting around on their computers watching YouTube. Camp is a blast, I captioned it. Then I took a picture of the weeds that got totally out of control in the yard. Breathtaking scenery of picturesque gardens. I put up one with a half-eaten pot of mac and cheese with the caption, "Kids love trying native foods." Well, this was apparently against the terms of service for Facebook. Radically so. Multiple SUVs full of jackbooted, hoodie-wearing security forces pulled up to my house and tried to smash my computer, but it was too late. See, it takes a lot of computers to run Facebook, and they need to be held together by something stronger than mere electronics. Facebook's platform actually operates on lies. It's true. I used to be a tech reporter. I know about these things. Facebook runs on a strong bond of deception, both of self and others, and that must be maintained in order for it to exist. Vacation pictures of the one moment the family gets along, and no acknowledgement of how the trip was paid for. The one poignant, adorable thing the kid said that one time, and not the mountain of stupid drivel that pours out of a kid's mouth constantly. All of these lies. Facebook relies on this, and that's how I broke it. Well, that it wasn't me alone. Pictures of messy kitchens started going up all over. Bratty things, kids said. Links to online videos of weeds getting out of control. One by one, Facebook servers around the world burst into flames and then were sucked into the earth. It went further. People unfriended people that they didn't really actually care about. Soon, everyone was down to at most six friends and then realized they could just call those people if they really wanted to. Or not. And now, when you go to Facebook, you just see a picture of a pile of dirt on fire. I think it works better this way. I'm sorry, and you're welcome. Terrific show for you this week. He's a singer, songwriter, frontman of the old 97s. Radio friends, you'll have to trust me that he swivels his hips. Rhett Miller. Also this week, the very funny comedian, good friend of our show, Paul F. Tompkins, is with us. Paul F. Tompkins, stand-up comedian, actor, entertainer. Welcome back to Wits.
John, thank you for welcoming me back to Wits. Thank you, audience, for applauding my welcome.
Are you in a hurry?
Yes, I am.
Oh, no.
I left a beer backstage.
It might get flat. You do impressions. I keep wanting to say you're an impressionist, but I don't think you paint. But the impressions that you do aren't like Donald Trump or Arnold Schwarzenegger. You do like John C. Reilly and Andrew Lloyd Webber.
That's right.
You do. These are outside the normal pantheon. These are outside the go-tos that everybody has.
Right. I guess that's fair to say.
Why is that? How did these develop?
It's a combination of things. One is realizing that you can do a voice and then trying to make it a thing, right? Mm-hmm. When I realized, like, I could do John C. Reilly, right? So, like, how do I capitalize on this and make it something awesome?
But
thank you.
Is there a moment John C. Reilly, fine actor, has been on Wits, in fact?
Oh, I have no doubt he's been on Wits. He's Taylor made for Wits.
A friend of the show with a very unique voice. I mean, were you like recreating some scene from a John C. Reilly movie with friends and then suddenly it emerged?
That's exactly how it started. There were friends and I who would quote Boogie Nights all the time.
Ah.
We just love that movie, and there's so many great lines in that movie. And that was when I realized, oh, I think I could do a John C. Reilly impression. And then I also realized what's great about this is that no one else is really doing that. So this is my little corner of the sky that I can have all to myself.
When you go about, let's say, John C. Reilly, like I often hear that there's a little nuance or trait that somebody doing an impression will grab onto and then build the whole character kind of from that seed.
Right.
What's the John C. Reilly nugget that you can build upon?
I think it's that he always seems very earnest in everything that he's doing. And so there's a lot of, I imagine him always, when he's talking to somebody, he's leaning in like, you understand what I'm saying is great, and this is good.
So, I want to hear that put to the test. Can you be John C. Reilly trying to sell me some Amway or a timeshare?
Sure.
Okay.
What's great about it is, you don't have to be there all the time. And if you go in on it with some friends, some people you know, then it's like, you call them up, but like, are you going to be at the place this weekend? So I'm gonna be there for a surprise party. And you know what? You're welcome to come.
Let's talk about some of the other voices you do. Cake Boss has become almost like transcendent beyond how the Cake Boss on the Cake Boss TV show even sounds.
Oh yeah, right? It's not even a human being anymore.
Tell us about how that developed and what goes into that voice.
I first encountered the Cake Boss, the TV show, when I was hosting Best Week Ever a handful of years ago. And that was when that show came on the air, and I saw a clip of him yelling at the people that work in his bakery. And I assumed, oh, this is what this show is that this guy is always screaming at people. And so that became the foundation for my impression.
This is a show where he's the boss of cakes. He's really good at cakes.
Here's what I do. I make elaborate cakes for people. Cakes depicting either a living person or a forest or an activity like the game of golf. And what happens is there's never enough time to make these elaborate cakes. Even though this is the foundation of my business, and it was my idea in the first place.
There's a little bit of old Jerry Lewis, hey, beautiful lady, going on in there, isn't there?
That is purely unintentional.
Okay.
If there is. But look, you're welcome to read anyone into Cake Boss that you like.
And then he also always has the aside that I get the sense he's not even aware that he's saying his own name as a throwaway.
I don't know why that started, but it became a thing that sometimes he would just say randomly, just Cake Boss, Cake Boss. He would just throw it out there. Then it became a thing that anytime anyone else said the words Cake Boss, he would have to repeat it. And then it sort of evolved in my mind, and I don't know if I ever told anyone this, that he doesn't realize he's doing that. So if anyone calls him on it,
he's unaware.
He has no idea. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, he doesn't believe them.
I'm Cake Boss. Why are you saying my name? I have experimented with doing the characters live and adding costumes and everything and doing sets. And I've hosted shows where it would be like a night of stand-up where I would host the show, and in between each stand-up, I would do the characters in costume. And it opened up a whole new world of pain in the assery for me that I didn't think was possible. Like, first time, like, this is going to be great. And then the first time I had to pack those costumes into a bag, I was like, ugh.
Oh, no.
And they're all very layered. Like, I do, for the Andrew Lloyd Webber costume, it's, he wears an ascot, a sweater, like some rich dude wide whale corduroy slacks, an ermine cape, and a top hat.
And so, in Los Angeles.
Yes.
Is and, where you
and guess what? It doesn't matter who I've done in Canada. I'm pouring buckets of sweat by the end of 5 minutes.
Well, you know, on this radio show, I often have to do what we call resets. This is Wits. I'm John Moe. More with Paul F. Tompkins in a minute. Do you think, I mean, I've been working really hard lately. Do you think Andrew Lloyd Webber could do a reset for me that we could use on the radio show?
I think if you ask me James Lipton style...
Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Hello.
Could we hear a reset for the radio program Wits?
What a pleasure it would be to assay the role of resetterist. speech, talking. I say! It is I, Andrew Lloyd Webber, composer of Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. And you are listening to Wits.
Like that?
Very nice. Paul F. Tompkins, ladies and gentlemen. Rhett Miller is a singer, songwriter, frontman of the Old 97s, recently put out an acoustic version of his album, The Dreamer. Here's Rhett Miller.
Clover, who am I trying to get out? Not the kind of guy you go for.
Ben Miller with John Munson and the Witnesses. More comedy with Paul F. Tompkins and music from Rhett Miller coming up, and insight from not really Glenn Frey and not really Don Henley. This is Wits. I'm John Moe.
Dinner Party Download is a fast and funny hour serving up culture, food, interviews, drink recipes, and other elements for a winning dinner party. Find Dinner Party Download on your podcast app.
This is Wits. I'm John Moe, here with singer-songwriter Rhett Miller and comedian Paul F. Tompkins. Now, obviously, Paul is not just a comedian, he is an actor. He was in the movie There Will Be Blood. He was in the movie Jack Frost. He was the MC at the Cat Fashion Show in Anchorman 1. And this week, he has agreed to perform some monologues for us. For the source material, Paul will use one-star reviews from Amazon.com of what are universally accepted to be classic books, albums, and films. This is Amazon Review Theater.
The Grapes of Wrath.
Sorry, Mr. Steinbeck. I didn't like this one. Let me tell you why. First of all, these poor people have such bad luck. I mean, you'd think at least one good thing would happen to them within the entire novel. Not so. Also, Steinbeck uses a lot of sexual references that are kind of weird and not very enjoyable. Lastly, you'd think Steinbeck is an insane guy or something, because whenever something gross happens, he really gets into describing it somewhat graphically.
The Hobbit. I returned this item. It was very weird, I thought. I returned this book. I sent this book. I didn't like this book. Good night, Moon.
Huh? I'm a 26-month-old who was on par with 5-year-olds for his vocabulary. He loves books, and mostly longer books that tell a story. My son asked me, "Mama, what's mush?" I didn't know what to say. What is mush? Is that even a noun? Then the old lady, aka Rabbit, so confusing. My son again asked, "What's an old lady?" Well, an old lady isn't a knitting rabbit. He clearly knows what a rabbit slash bunny is. He knows what a noise is, since he always asks, "What's that noise?" when he hears anything. At the end, when the author writes, "Good night, noises everywhere," makes no sense. All in all, I think this book is confusing and detrimental to a toddler's vocabulary.
Paul F. Tompkins, everybody. Here with more music, Rhett Miller.
Well, you could tell it to the radio, tell it to the television. They are not listening, they are only machines. I could sit around all day worrying and wishing I was one of them, so you could tell it to me. Oh yeah, talking to you, girl, is like long division. Trying to find you, may I remind you, I'm under oath now. I've been trying to see you, as I can see you, want the truth now. I've been trying to tell you, that I can tell you are a singular girl. A singular girl, singular girl. Blame it on the moonlight, blame it on play. Talk about electronics. You are the reason. You are because. Oh yeah, talking to you, girl, is like long division. Yeah, I've been trying to find you. May I remind you, I'm on the earth now. I've been trying to see you, as I can see you. Want the truth now. I've been trying.
I love playing with y'all. Thank you so much.
We love you back.
Rhett Miller, good to see you again. Welcome back to Wits.
I love your show, John.
We love having you on it. I was listening back to some old 97s music from when you were a young man and from when I used to listen to it when I was a young man. And it sounds to me like on those old records, you're trying to sound older than you really were. Is that true?
You know, for the first, let's see, I'm making a record with the old 97s right now, which is our 10th record as a band. I've made 5 solo records, including one I made in high school, in which I sang with a complete British accent. Full, all I listened to at the time was Bowie and Aztec Camera.
You
whatever.
Thought that's what singing was.
That's what I like to listen to, so. And then Murray, my bass player in the old 97s and sort of my mentor for the last billion years, turned me on to Hank Williams, which as a kid I had eschewed. You know, I was like, well, you know, I like punk rock, man. Or David Bowie or whatever. And so then suddenly I realized, oh my God, this is the greatest songwriter in the history of songwriting. And so guess who I started singing like?
Like Hank Williams.
Yeah, so.
Well, I guess I've heard on the old 97s record a little bit of an example of you sounding like Hank Williams. Could you give me an example of that Bowie Rhett Miller?
Oh my God.
What that singing sounded like?
Yes, okay. Seashell girl keeps fire inside and steals the night and tries to hide the day.
Well, that's lovely. I could listen to a record of Rhett Miller doing that.
You could really hear it on day.
Yeah, you
could. I might have hammed it up a little bit.
It's the diphthongs vowels that really give it away. Well, now that you're older, do those old songs of you trying to sound like Hank Williams? I mean, now you've got some miles on the car here.
Yeah.
Those feel different when you sing them?
Well, the nice thing is, not to be serious, but I did sort of find a voice in the last few, really, I just feel like it's the last 6 or 7 years where I was like, okay, this is how I actually sing. And it obviously took a really long time, a lot of therapy. And so now I sing like I sing. And so when I sing those old songs now, I just sing them. And then I'll hear the recorded version and go, oh my God, what was I even, like, how did that get by my inner, you know, editor? Like, how did, you know, because, well, I must have been stoned. You're like, who's that hillbilly?
Now, Rhett, the other thing I need to ask you about, you were on our show a couple years ago, and people in St. Paul still talk about your hip swiveling.
You know what? I really resent the objectification.
Well, I know. You brought it to the stage.
I'm a human being.
I know.
With a lot of facets.
And some of those facets are your hips. Can you give advice that a radio audience can understand on what constitutes a good hip swivel from a professional standpoint? Like, what goes into it?
Well, for me, it all started when I was 12 and I took a ballroom dancing class and I was good at it and I was unpopular. So every other area of my life was a nightmare. But the people that taught this ballroom class liked me and saw that I actually tried and wasn't embarrassed like every other dude in the class. So they asked me to come back when I was 13 to teach the 12-year-olds, which was in itself this really beautiful thing because I got to, and this is me patting myself on the back, I got to go and like pick the girls that were kind of standing off and not popular and I got to dance with them. Because I was the older, you know, whatever. I thought I was cool. Little did I know that they saw through that charade. But so I really have always loved dancing. God, I can't believe I'm saying this on the radio.
It's okay. It's public radio. I'm supposed to draw this out.
Yes.
Of
I can't believe that I've known you since the 90s, and this is the first I'm hearing of this ballroom dancing class.
Obviously, I don't discuss this a lot. So, But I remember from the ballroom dancing class that when we got into the Latin dances, there was a really cool rule about Latin dancing where your upper body is almost immobile and your lower body just goes ga-donk, 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 ga-donk. And I just really loved that. And you know, part of what I have to do with playing guitar is like the upper body is sort of working. Like I'm doing things.
The arms are awfully busy.
Yeah, my left hand is making chord figures. My right hand is swinging around or whatever. So this is all busy, but upper stuff. But the butt, legs, whatever that wants to do, man, go to town. Just have fun. And I've also always believed that if I'm not having fun and showing people that I'm having fun, how can I, for 1 second, expect them to have fun?
Rhett Miller, thank you very much.
I'm Glenn Frey of the Eagles.
And I'm Don Henley of the Eagles. For our second album, we tried a cowboy concept.
Yeah, see, we were talking. Usual people, Don, me, Stevie Nicks, Tiny Tim, Goldie Hawn, Evel Knievel. Talking about how the rock musician is like a cowboy. Oh, Infant Bon Jovi was there too.
Now Glenn here really commits. He wanted us to only call him Desperado, his cowboy name. Never Glenn, only Desperado. He's committed. That's what it's like to be an artist, and an artist who takes a whole lot of drugs.
A whole lot. There were these old wooden fences near our recording studio in Laurel Canyon, and I got it into my head that they were horses. I would just be out on those horses all day long, riding the range.
I was worried about them, so I wrote this song.
Desperado, why don't you come to your senses? You've been out riding fences so long now. Oh, you're a hard one. I know that you got your reasons. These things that are pleasing you can hurt you somehow.
Yeah, it pleased him to ride the fences, but they did hurt him. Butt splinters, for instance, when he thought a particular fence was a bucking bronco.
Don would come out and play cards with me because I refused to get off the horse fence. Horse fence. Horns.
We played cards.
Don't you draw the queen of diamonds, boy. She'll beat you if she's able. You know the queen of hearts is always your best bet.
We really started to worry about Glenn, so we tried to lure him off the fences with snacks on a table. Cold cuts, cheese and crackers.
Now it seems to me some fine things have been laid upon your table. You only want the ones that you can't get.
I only wanted the snacks you can't get, man. I'm talking hovering gasoline pizza, a working motorcycle made of watermelon, fairy meat. Anyway, I rode the horse fences well into January.
It's hard to tell the nighttime from the day. You're losing all your highs and lows. Ain't it funny how the feeling goes away?
The feeling in my extremities, that is. Get the cold.
Desperado, why don't you come to your senses? Come down from your fences. Open the gate. It may be raining, but there's a rainbow above you. You better let somebody love you.
You better let somebody love you.
You better let somebody love you. For it's too late.
Finally, he did let us love him, and he came down off the fence.
Yeah. Man, I still remember those horses, how fast they ran, how we used to blow past all the cars on the freeway. And those memories became life in the fast lane. So anyway, that's the story of Witchy Woman.
Desperado.
Yeah, buddy?
Desperado.
Paul F. Tompkins as Glenn Fry, me as Don Henley, the witnesses, and Rhett Miller as the Eagles. Coming up, the Wits Game Show, and more one-star Amazon reviews. This is Wits. I'm John Moe.
Thank you.
This is Wits. I'm John Moe, here with singer-songwriter Rhett Miller and comedian Paul F. Tompkins.
She's dead. You've killed her.
I didn't mean to kill her. Really, I didn't. It's just that he was on fire.
Hail to Dorothy. The Wicked Witch is dead.
Hail to Dorothy.
The broom. May we have it?
Please, and take it with you.
Oh, thank you so much. Now we can go back to the wizard and tell him the Wicked Witch is dead.
Bye. See you later.
Long. Thank you.
Oh, they run fast.
Really out of there. Yeah.
Please and take it with you?
What?
That's what you said to her. Please and take it with you.
Yeah, Mark. She asked if she could have the broom. Obviously, she didn't mean, can I have that broom? And would you keep it at your place?
Yeah, having something implies taking it with you, Mark. Do you understand words?
Of course.
What? Oh, watch me. I'm going to be Mark.
Okay.
I'm Mark. Have some pizza. And you also have my permission to eat it. I'm doing you two favors.
Yeah, great stuff.
That's so Mark. You're trying to act like you're doing Dorothy two favors? Are you old two favors, Mark?
Mm-hmm. Or do you like Dorothy?
Mark, you're a weird green freak, and she's a child.
She's a child, Mark. Sicko.
Guys, I don't know if you remember, but I just saw my jerk boss melt into the ground in front of my eyes like 2 seconds ago. You heard her screaming, right? That was traumatic.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Sorry if I wasn't strunk and whiting it to your personal satisfaction there, William Sapphire.
Okay, that's fair.
Sorry, Mark.
It's okay.
You know what's kind of interesting, Mark, is that as soon as the Wicked Witch was dead, you had us literally getting down on our knees and saying, Hail Dorothy!
What? I wanted to let her know that we weren't loyal to the witch.
Well, yeah, sure, Mark, but still, literally, in the first seconds of freedom that we, as beings, have ever known, you make us prostrate ourselves before yet another matriarch. And that's gross. Thanks for the human rights, Ayatollah.
Whoa. I was trying to get on Dorothy's good side. I don't know her. I don't know what this place called Kansas is. But she killed two witches, dudes. It was a political decision.
Oh, so it was out of fear. Great leadership, Mark.
Yeah, nice one, Mark.
Oh, well, why did you just go along with it when I said to hail Dorothy?
Oh, I don't know, Mark. Maybe a lifetime of servile conditioning.
Okay, fine. I'll try to be more considerate the next time we're liberated from a psychotic witch.
Thank you.
Still, clearly, Dorothy was not hiring for any new positions and has chosen not to live in this improbably treacherous castle, which is the architectural embodiment of evil. So, let's mop up that witch, and I'll call the newspaper, post a classified ad for a new evil tyrant under whose yoke we can all resentfully toil. Good?
Okay, good call. See you later.
Absolutely.
All right, dinner later.
I'm hungry, man. Let's go eat some food.
Okay.
Janie Haddad Tompkins as Dorothy, Paul F. Tompkins, Rhett Miller, and me as guards. Once again, Amazon Review Theater, 1-star reviews from Amazon.com, dramatically interpreted by Paul F. Tompkins.
Beowulf. Too old. I stopped reading Beowulf after a few pages because the way it was written is just too old for me. I wish it was rewritten and adjusted for more modern times
because I hate having to sit and read through the same page for 4 to 5 minutes to make sure I completely understand what they are saying. Can't say that I'd recommend this book.
The Hobbit. Okay, I know that a lot of people like this book, but I doubt it's for the reason that it was a good novel, but rather because J.R.R. Tolkien wrote it, so it must be a good story, right? Wrong. I found it to be extremely silly at the way that Bilbo got out of all the different situations he got himself into. Very, very silly. And why exactly did he have to be in this grand adventure that Gandalf insisted he be in? Nothing about Bilbo appealed to me, and I absolutely found the style way too dry and dull to the point where I just stopped reading it for a while. Just to get a refreshed feeling.
Paul F. Tompkins, ladies and gentlemen. And now the Wits Game Show. This week, fake hooray for fake Hollywood. It's all about movies. I will give you the name of a fake movie. Paul, you pitch us the concept. Imagine the audience as studio executives trying to get a green light to get this thing made. Rhett Miller, you give us a song from the soundtrack. This week, we offer the turn the tables option.
Turn the tables. Yes.
Thank you, fake Adele. Each side can announce, I turn the tables once over the course of the game, and each side must then perform the other's task. As always, I will decide the winner of each round in an arbitrary, capricious, and unfair manner. Here we go. Rhett, the name of the film is The Snake Enablers.
This is happening. This is really happening. I know this is real, it's not a dream. There's all these snakes. I know this is real, I'm pretty sure this is real. Except then there's that giant guy eating a donut. Okay, maybe this isn't real. I'm gonna give these snakes a bunch of beer. I'm gonna take them out to lunch right here. We're gonna eat waffles and fried chicken and drink more beer, 'cause we're the snake enablers.
Wow. I'm not only gonna listen to that song, I'm gonna watch that Broadway musical. And watch that film, Paul F. Tompkins, The Snake Enablers.
Matthew McConaughey plays the Archangel Gabriel. Tasked with going to the Garden of Eden to make Adam and Eve, Jennifer Aniston and Jason Segel, eat some kind of apple and start human civilization. Snake is played by Oliver Platt.
The round goes to Rhett Miller. Rhett Miller, you go first in this round. The name of the film is Why Did You Do That to My Arm?
What do you call the turnaround thing?
Turn the table!
Turn the tables!
He's turning the tables.
Are you declaring I turn the tables? Oh, you want to hear me sing? That's great, because first I have to hear you describe what this movie is.
You're still up first, Rhett. You have to give the synopsis of the film.
Can I get the name?
Well, I'll give you the name. It's Why Did You Do That to My Arm?
I bit off more than I could chew.
Well, could be.
In a world where doctors are monsters, one out of every 10 patients, and this is decided by a lottery, doesn't get the operation they ask for. They get an operation that the doctor comes up with because he's a sadistic monster. Our hero is a brilliant guitarist, not unlike someone perhaps on this stage. His right arm, for which he is so famous, strumming and whatnot, is suddenly turned into a giant dandelion. Boom! Paul F. Tompkins.
Paul F. Tompkins, a song, please, from Why Did You Do That to My Arm?
Hey, what's wrong with my arm? I had some bursitis. Now it's some ragweed. You're a monstrous MD. I don't know if... don't know if I'm covered for dandelion surgery.
Touché.
Paul F. Tompkins steals Rhett Miller's song and steals the round. Point to Tompkins. This one will decide it. Paul F. Tompkins, you're up first. This is a three-word movie title.
Yes!
Bananas. Bananas? Bananas! Period, question mark, exclamation point.
Tilda Swinton in the roles of a lifetime. Plays a banana. A banana ghost? And a banana imposter. Can the world be saved by this ragtag group of bananas? And banana adjacent things? Only one man can decide. Dwayne The Rock Johnson. A movie spanning the globe. So many exotic locales. The first movie to be shot in zero gravity. And the last movie to be shot in the state of Georgia. Bananas, bananas, bananas.
Rhett Miller, over to you. Bananas, bananas, bananas.
All right. This is the love theme from Bananas. Bananas? Bananas! I fell in love with you, and I knew it was real. I loved you a bunch.
Get it?
That's the deal. We found our way to space and made love there. I put a wig on you so it would look like you had hair. Oh, bananas. Bananas? Bananas. Yeah.
We have a pretty smart crowd here at the Fitzgerald Theater, so we're going to do it by your applause and cheers. Paul F. Tompkins. Or Rhett Miller. Rhett Miller wins the game. Here with more music, Rhett Miller.
I was going through a hell of a time when suddenly you showed up. You gave me hope and I lost mine, but hope is not enough. And I loved you so hard, it broke my heart. And you weren't like the rest. House, 'cause she no longer could. Soon enough they'd kick me out and tear her down for good. Well, the chimney was broke, so
so the house filled with smoke. And I can't catch my breath, now she's dead. Chewing on a camel light. I was walking on a perilous line between too much and just right. You long narrow street, you've been there for me. You're so much longer now. She's there.
Want more Wits in your life? Go to witsradio.org and find out how you can see a Wits show in person. You can sign up for our newsletter and get the latest about what our various Wits guests are up to, or tell us what you're up to on Twitter. Just tag us. We're at Wits. Thanks to our music guest, Rhett Miller, and of course, Mr. Paul F. Tompkins. Thanks also to broadcast engineers Corey Schreppel, Rob Byers, and Johnny Vince Evans, our coordinating producer Hans Buto, our interns Jillian Jacob and Sam Siegel, and Fitzgerald theater staff Tom Campbell, Andrea Ayers, Andrew Mayer, and Dan Zimmerman. Wits is written by me and Ben Acker, Allison Augustine and Lauren McGuire, Wendy Molyneux and Jeff Drake, and Mike Fotis. Our acting company this week included Janie Haddad Tompkins. We're joined, as always, by our music director, John Munson, and the witnesses, Steve Rome, Joe Savage, Richard Medick, and Janie Winterbauer. Our executive producer is Peter Clowney. Wits was created by Tony Bowl, senior producer Larissa Anderson, and me. I'm John Moe. Bye now.
Sitting in this parking lot reminds me of a time when I might have had my only shot to not get left behind. Yeah, you gave it to me, but I refused to see. It was in front of me, but it left.